Wow, listen to that. It's not even nighttime. I gotta hear the cicadas. 720 WGN, John Landecker from ROCON. And Rebecca Fife is the urban wildlife expert and research director at Landmark Pest Management. Good evening, good afternoon, Rebecca. How are you?
Hello, John. I'm so happy to talk with you today.
Well, thank you. How are all the pests doing?
They're abundant, actually, and we're getting the most calls this week about bats in people's homes and in their bedrooms, specifically.
Bats in people's mm-hmm. bedrooms?
Yeah, and it's really serious because bats are Illinois.
What is the explanation?
Well, bats are Illinois' number one rabies carrier, so we have to take it really seriously when we get those phone calls. And I have one example that I thought you might really connect with, because I read once in an interview that your father, who was a professor, was blind. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So we received a call from a blind couple. Both the husband and the wife were blind. And they said, oh, we woke up with what we thought was a mouse in the bed.
Oh,
but then
God.
When we felt it, we felt that it had membranous wings. Yeah. So we raced right out. We sent a biologist in the middle of the night, and they were able to take this bat that had been right in the bed between this couple and send it for rabies testing. And luckily it tested negative, but bats' teeth can be so small that people don't always know when they're bitten by a bat if they were asleep at the time. And if it had tested positive, they would have had to receive vaccines called post-exposure prophylaxis to prevent the onset of rabies. And we're receiving and going out and hand capturing about 3 bats a night right now.
What?
Because,
what?
Yeah, August is the peak of bat season in Chicagoland.
I did not know that. So you will actually, if you get a call from somebody, you'll actually go out there and take care of it.
We do. And then we
wow.
return the following day in the daylight
wow.
to do an inspection to see if the reason they had a bat in their bedroom is because they might have a bat colony in the attic or in a void space in a
oh
wall.
Gosh. Wow. Is there other than what is it that makes this bat season? I mean, what is it about this season that's different that the bats come out?
They're very active. They're doing the most hunting because they have pups to feed. So their pups are just starting to take flight, and there's a lot of pressure to put on enough fat to either migrate or hibernate over the winter. So this is their peak activity time of the year.
Wow.
Aren't they good for the mosquitoes, though?
They're really good for mosquitoes, yes. They're out right at dusk when the mosquitoes are, you know, out as well, and they eat a lot of harmful insects. And bats are, you know, incredibly important for the environment, and that's why they're protected. So every bat in Illinois is protected. So the only ones that could ever be killed are the ones that have bitten someone and need to have their brain material tested for rabies. The
wow.
ones that... When we go back the next day, if we do find a colony, which we frequently do, we use one-way doors called excluders that let the bats leave but not re-enter, so that we remove bat colonies without harming any bats.
Can I ask a question, Jen?
Sure.
Because I'm terrified listening to this, what Rebecca is telling us.
Oh, wait till I tell you about the cicadas. This is nothing.
Well, okay, this might sound like a dumb question, but there's some nights where I'm sitting out on the patio just hanging out, and you... Is there a specific thing you should be looking for when you see something fly across your backyard? I'm like, was that a bird or was that a bat? Like, is there something I can look for so I know? Is it
where they go?
Yeah,
into your attic.
What's the main difference, like, to identify? Okay, that was a bat that just flew over the backyard, or that was just a bird.
That's a good question. So when you're looking at the silhouette of something flying over at dusk and you want to know if it's a bird or a bat, birds glide and bats don't glide. Bats
Ooh.
Kind of flap their wings constantly. They almost fly like a contraption. But you're actually not in any danger when you see bats flying. And I actually put bat houses on the outside of my home and my yard to provide habitat for bats. So bats are only a risk when they're either inside of our homes or when we touch them or initiate contact with them.
I have a question.
Just,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sitting outside watching them hunt, totally normal.
So you build bat houses. You know, I had bird houses when I was growing up, but I never felt the inclination to build bat houses. What is it about the bat that attracted you, Rebecca, to go that far? To help them with their habitat.
Well, I'm very interested in wildlife disease epidemiology, and I became interested in that because of a family tragedy, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. My cousin, he was playing in an alley when he was a toddler that had pigeon droppings, and because of exposure to the pigeon droppings, he contracted meningitis and encephalitis and died. So it made me very interested in studying wildlife zoonoses or zoonotic diseases that can transmit from humans to people. So that's how from animals to people. So that's how I became an urban wildlife manager.
Wow, that is quite a story. Sorry for your loss. Wait till we get to the cicadas. We're going to come back and do that. They're monsters. They're growing in the ground. They're coming up to get us. We'll do that and more. I'm sure we'll take calls. 312-981-7200. You want to talk bats? You want to talk cicadas? You want to talk mosquitoes?
What's for dinner?
What's for dinner.
Yeah. It's 87 degrees, partly cloudy skies.
Thank you, Meatloaf. What's for dinner?
Oh, no.
546 at 720 WGN. John Landecker for Rokan. And I mean, critters and pests are serious, but, we got to be able to have a little fun with it. And we're doing both sides of the coin. We're being serious, yet we're being humorous, at least hopefully. That's our goal. Rebecca Fife is the Urban Wildlife Expert and Research Director at Landmark Pest Management. And would you please, let's get to the phones first. Let's go to Steve in Bolingbrook. Steve, you're on WGN. Good afternoon.
Hi, John. Hi, Rebecca. Rebecca, you're amazing. You can hear your passion in your voice when you speak about this stuff.
Thank you.
Two quick questions. I was born in the 50s and raised in the 60s and 70s where, oh, my God, if you had to get rabies shots, there were these horrific injections in your stomach. Please tell me that's changed by now.
I have good news for you, Steve. They're in the arm, and they're no big deal. And of the about 300 people we've sent to receive them over the past few years, not one of them has had any kind of adverse reaction. Some of the people have been old as 97 years old, and a 9-day-old infant received the shots and recovered just fine.
Wow.
Outstanding. All right. And on that note, I know you have your bat houses out in your backyard, but I got to ask, do you have to clean up their guam, their droppings?
I don't clean it up at all. They just fall to the ground, a little bit of guano. And guano is safe and not a risk as long as it's not in an enclosed environment where fungus can grow. So if a bat colony lives in your attic and there's a lot of humidity, a fungus can grow on it called histoplasmosis, which it can cause a dangerous lung disease. But outdoors, bat guano is not a risk at all. So, no, I don't worry about it at all. But the flowers that grow underneath the bat house grow a little bit more vigorously. Yeah. So I think that bat guano is really helping.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Outstanding.
I've got
two college degrees, and Rebecca, you make me feel stupid. Thank you both.
Well, that's not our intent. I mean, come on. Let's scare everybody about cicadas, because I was reading about cicadas here, and I guess I was not up onto my cicada facts. So we have three kinds in Illinois, three kinds of cicadas?
Yes, we have the periodical cicadas, which live for either 13 or 17 years, and we have annual cicadas. So there are, technically three kinds, the periodical and the annual, but the periodical is divided into two brood lengths, 13 or 17 years. And a cool fact about cicadas, their 17-year lifespan makes them the longest-lived insect on Earth.
Wow. But they're around now, though. Isn't that a little unusual?
Yeah, they're early, actually. Yeah. I think they didn't get the right calendar invite because they were supposed to be here in 2024, but part of the brood has arrived early.
I was taking out the trash to the sidewalk a couple of nights ago, and some neighborhood kids were around the trash can, and on top of the trash can looked like bees carcasses, but they weren't. They were cicadas, and that's been That's what they do, right? They leave the shell behind and take off.
Yeah, exactly. So they spend the larval phase of their life underground growing. So if it's a 17-year cicada, it's going to spend 17 years as a grub growing underground. And then it emerges in that shell, and it climbs up, and that's when the back cracks open, and the adult winged insect climbs out, dries its wings, and within about 2 to 3 days, it works really hard to find a mate. The male cicadas will sing a special song, and then the female cicadas will vibrate their wings in response to the males so that the males can fly over to them and find them. And it lasts about 3 weeks because that's their whole lifespan. They're really just here to reproduce in their adult phase.
312-981-7200. Let's go to the phones. And Glenn is in Chicago. Glenn, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hello, thank you. Got a problem with a wasp nest. It's growing underneath one of my eaves. I'm just wondering what's the best way to treat it or get rid of it. I mean, I don't want to kill the insects or anything if I can help it, but can I just poke it and drop it to the ground and run, or what can I do?
Yeah, bees are everywhere.
It's growing outside. I'm sorry, outside underneath my eaves.
Poke and run. Yeah.
Sure. Well, the only problem with the poke and run technique is there a lot of the animals that, you know, feed on them, like let's say skunks or bears in other areas, the only sensitive areas they have are their nose and eyes. So stinging insects go for the nose and eyes. So there's a real risk of being stung in the eye or even inhaling one because they do go after the face when they're antagonized. So it's really better to have a professional deal with it and to go ahead and remove it. And you really don't need to feel guilty about using lethal means to remove a wasp nest. If it were honeybees, on the other hand, honeybees should be taken alive and they shouldn't be killed. So it's so much better. We have a lot of beekeepers on our staff that will go out and remove honeybee colonies alive and humanely relocate them to keep them in the gene pool. But with wasps, they're so abundant. They're not under any kind of threat. It's fine to remove them by lethal means.
So
could I possibly hit it with a high-pressure water hose from a great distance and knock it down?
I wouldn't use a water hose. I would use a pesticide that's approved for that purpose and use it according to the label. So I'd put on a pair of goggles if you're going to do it yourself to protect your eyes, and then choose a product that says it's designed for hornets and wasps. There's one exception. If you can see the nest, so if it's like an umbrella wasp nest, also known as Polistes, it's okay to try it yourself with a can of hornet and wasp spray. However, if they're going into a hole in the house.
No, the nest is outside.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, if they're ever going into a hole, you never want to apply a product because that basically poisons their exit and makes them eat right through the drywall or fly through the can lights.
Wow.
And that's how people end up with, you know, hundreds of bees or wasps in their house. So as long as you can see the nest, I'm not opposed to you trying a can of hornet and wasp spray as long as you wear goggles. It will stain your siding, though. Many of those commercially available over-the-counter hornet and wasp sprays have an oil formulation that do cause permanent staining on paint and siding. So you might want to use a pest control professional to take care of that for you because we have powder formulations.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. I appreciate it. Let's go talk to Vicki from Plainfield. Vicki, good afternoon. You're on WGN.
Yes, hello. John, I love you, my love.
Oh,
great.
Thank you.
Okay, and I do have a question. About these zombie cicadas that I recently read an article about. And do you know anything about the 750,000 genetically modified mosquitoes that are going to be released in Florida, of all places?
Like what?
Real soon.
Wait a minute.
Yes, I just read that article.
Is that true?
Yeah, I read that's the case. That's pretty interesting that they're going to release the genetically modified mosquitoes. But zombie cicadas are actually fungally modified by a natural process. They are really interesting. She's right, John. Can you believe it? There actually are zombie cicadas.
I believe there's zombies everywhere now. There's just the whole world is one big zombie fest.
The way that it works is it's a fungus.
What makes it a zombie cicada as opposed to a regular cicada?
Well, it controls their behavior. It takes over their brain. So it only affects males. And the way that it works is when a male is infected with the fungus, his entire abdomen is replaced by the fungus. So he has this big spore capsule, and he changes his behavior. He moves his wings like he's a female instead of singing like he's a male. And the other male cicadas see the wing movement that signifies that it's a reproductive female, and they fly over and touch him, and now they have it too. So that's how the fungus takes over the brain and changes the behavior.
Wow. That is just astounding. Is there any word that you want to add here before we wrap it up about West Nile, by any chance?
Yes, absolutely. So West Nile is found all over Cook County and different areas in Illinois, from Arlington Heights to Berwyn. And Cook County does a really great job of doing surveillance where they go out and sample mosquitoes to see where it's found. So we know that it's found all over the place, and we need to wear, you know, long pants and long sleeves and use mosquito repellent when we're out at dusk and high mosquito times to reduce our risk. And last year in Illinois, there were 26 people that had West Nile, but there were no deaths, and we can help increase our safety and reduce our risk just by wearing mosquito repellent when there's a lot of mosquitoes outside.
Rebecca, you're really cool. I hope we get to talk again sometime, because you really have a passion and knowledge for your stuff, and you express yourself really well. I'm scared to death now of bats. I'm scared to death of mosquitoes and cicadas. Please don't get near me. Thanks for being on. Thanks for being on with us, Rebecca.
John,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, such a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Boy, she knows her stuff, huh? Rebecca Fife, urban wildlife expert and research director at Landmark Pest Management. Man, oh, man. We're going to get to the news in just a few minutes. And on the other side, oh, boy, oh, boy. It's the game show that nobody cares about, but we're going to do it anyway. That's right. Name that. What is it? Name that diddle. Right? Diddle me this. I'm sorry. Not name that diddle. Diddle me this. And we'll have an explanation coming up. But after a break, we'll get the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Lauren Lopka.